She's just the choir. Because we feel kind of silly up here because you all look great out there and we got all these whatever. Lynn. Oh, yeah, Lynn. Lynn, stand up. There we go. And the interesting thing about this morning's song, and I did not plan this, but today's song is Follow the Light.
Far from the hills of Judea, three kings were observing miraculous events in the heavens.
Their education and wisdom revealed things that others may have looked at, but only these wise men could see. God's miraculous intervention was on display in the evening sky.
A star of unknown brilliance and origin was beckoning them to travel in search of the King of all kings. The journey would be long and arduous. The task at times would seem insurmountable.
But the complexity of the task was shrouded in the simplicity of the command. That call remains the same for the wise who still seek Him. Follow the light.
Yeah, yeah, oh, oh. Wondering and wondering which way to go. Crossing the desert within my soul, seeking direction, seeking what's right, listening for angel songs in the night. Where will this lead me?
Follow.
How can I be free?
Follow.
Yeah, just follow. Follow the
light
that shines through the darkest night. Just follow the hope that brings vision to our side. Just follow the dream that leads to the Prince of Peace. Just look to those stars and follow the light. What can I offer? What can I bring? What gift is worthy for heaven's King? Will He receive me, this great Son of Man? Will He accept me just as I am? Where will this lead me?
Follow.
Tell me, how can I be free?
Follow.
Yeah, just follow. And follow the light,
that
shines through the darkest night. Just follow the hope that brings vision to our side. Just follow
the dream that leads
to the Prince of Peace. Wherever you are, just look to those stars and follow the light. I'm on my way home. Yes. Whatever lies ahead, I trust what God said and follow.
Follow the hope that brings
and follow the light. Wherever you are, just look to those stars and follow the light. Yes, just follow the light.
Choir. Good morning, 12th Street. It's good to see you out this morning. And you notice, you know, the sweaters all do have a purpose this morning, okay? So don't feel left out if you didn't wear an ugly sweater. That just means you got some good going on in your life, hopefully. But also, we have these pictures up here that are in your bulletin. There are some blanks if you want to try to figure out who those people are. We got some awkward family photos up there. So while I'm giving the announcements, you can view those. Some of them are nice photos, and some of them are a little bit awkward. So as far as announcements go, next Sunday is our children's program. And with the children's program, following that, they're going to stay in the service. And the message is the White Elephant Christmas. And there is a special treat next Sunday for everybody. And so I want to encourage you to be out and also to invite someone to be with you, because it's going to be a really great service next Sunday with the children's program, some special numbers being sung, and so forth. And then on Christmas Eve, December 24th, that is our glow-in-the-dark Christmas Eve service at 11 a.m. Again, I just want to encourage you to be ready to come out. It's going to be a great, great morning as well. And I want to say a big thank you to all those who volunteered last Tuesday to help Bethany Christian Services with their holiday dinner. So all those who helped with that, if you could just stand up, we'd like to say thank you to you for helping out. Thank you very much. We appreciate that. I guess there were close to 300 people that came and were there in the gym, and it was a great time. So thank you to all those. And then also several of you help deliver gifts for some of the children that are in Bethany's Christian Services, their foster care. And so if you delivered those gifts, thank you for doing that. I know there's a few more that still have to be delivered, but we do appreciate that. And then also men on January 12th, in the bulletin, it's the wrong date there, Friday, January 12th at 10 p.m., we're going to have a meeting, and we're going to begin an Act Like Men 40-day challenge. We're going to meet twice in those 40 days, the first day and the last day, okay? So you only have to meet twice. The first day is that Friday night. The last day will be a Wednesday. And so, men, I'd like to encourage you to be part of that. If you are going to do that, I need to get books, and I have to have those pre-ordered and here at the church by the 12th. And so if you're planning on being part of that Act Like Men 40-day challenge, sign up at the Welcome Center so I can get your books. And yesterday we had registration for Upward, and at this point we have 164 kids that are registered in Upward. And so we're expecting more, and we had a great help yesterday with the evaluations. But if you'd like to help next week with evaluations, Kevin, he's in the cage there with the beautiful sweater on. He'd like to know, so you can speak to him, or you can speak to Mike Kaler. And I haven't seen Mike yet. He's not here today, so you can't talk to Mike today. But you can talk to Kevin, and Kevin will hook you up with what you need to do for the Upward evaluations. And for the rest of the announcements, there's a new Bible study that just started last week on Tuesdays from 1 to 2:30 p.m. with Brenda DeReicher. So I'd like to encourage you to be part of that, ladies. And I think that's it for the bulletins. Now, I will give you, before I preach, the answers to all of these, okay? So during the meet and greet, we'll keep that running. You can try to figure those out. But let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for who you are, that you allow us to come together and to fellowship, to encourage, to be built up. And I pray, Lord, that all of us this morning, that our batteries would be recharged, that our focus would be put back into straight alignment, and that, Lord, we would be ready for not only the Christmas season, but ready for everyday life. And so I pray that this message this morning about awkward family photos and ugly Christmas sweaters, Lord, that you would use it to help us to understand your plan, but also to know what kind of God you are. So take this time for your glory, Lord. We give it to you. We surrender to your will. We want you to be glorified in song and in giving and in everything that we do. You are the great God. You have the plan. You executed your plan. Now help us, Lord, to join up with that plan. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take a moment and greet those around us.
All right, as you're making your way back to your seats this morning, remain standing. We're going to sing Unspeakable Joy. and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders, wonders of his love. Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well, no tongue can tell. God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. have the ushers come forward. You may be seated.
Father, we just thank you for the day, and we just ask you to bless us. Lord, we just thank you for the gift that you gave to us, your Son. And now we give back a portion to you in this offering. We just ask that you bless it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered would soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm a storm with his hand? Did you know walked where angels trod, and when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God? Oh, Mary, did you know? Oh, Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, the praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And that this sleeping child you're holding is the grave?
Thank you, Rachel. Just before the, we have a skit this morning. Before that, if you could put the slides back up there. And this is who everybody is. The first slide there, that's the Stouts. That one there, that's the Fagleys. That's Dave and Carolyn Fagley. The next one was the Balkama and Joyce kids. So you got, there they are again. All right, just another picture of them. All right, and then we have Mary and Ed Campbell. That's Ed as Santa there and his mom. There's the Joyce family, Pat Joyce, and is that Brooke and Carly, I believe? Yep, and then there's some of the Balkama kids again. We got a lot of pictures from them again. And there's a young Karen, all right, there, young Karen Joyce. Yes. And there's the Myers, Matt and Anika and Carter. And there's the Dieters, all right. They were easy. That's Bert and Rachel Smith and their children. All right. There's so the Garcias. There's Brian and Tamara Cooper. There's Eloise. That is Cheryl Campbell right there as a young child. There is Lucy. Richard Garcia right there. That is the Eggers family. Paul is one of the little ones there. That's Caleb and Alana Stout. Okay, there's the Eggers. Paul, which one were you?
The one you didn't guess.
The one I didn't. Well, I don't remember what I guessed. So he's the baby. So the one up top standing on the couch, right? All right, that's Paul. Then the next one is Caleb and Alana Stout was 19. And 20 is that's the Anderson family, Lynn's family. And then we have some of the LAC ladies there. Looking sporty there. And then the next one is Don and Autumn Lewis. And then a young My Family. And I don't know why they threw that one up there. So, all right. So, anyway, hopefully you had some fun with that.
Whoever decided to give this garage sale for the church, rummage sale for the church, was a genius.
I know it's going to help us out.
Yeah, it when you sure say will. Us, you do mean the church, right?
Well, yeah, it's going to help the church, too. But I'm talking about those of us that have all this junk out in the garage, you know, collecting dust.
Oh, yeah.
I know. Ooh, it'd be good to get rid of that. Amen?
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
You know, getting carpet for the church is a really good idea.
Yeah,
but I'm still not going to miss this nasty job.
I know, right? Because that's what I got in here. I got some tacky, and then more tacky stuff.
Oh, my goodness. You know, ladies, I'm proud to say that I did not buy anything in this box myself. It was all given to me by people over the years, and I just put it away. But I'm telling you, it's enough to make you gag.
Oh, yeah.
I brought all my tasteless stuff people gave me over the years, too, but good time to get rid of it. Let's do
it.
Okay.
Let's see what else is in these boxes. Well.
Is that a vase I see in there?
Oh, yeah, this is a vase. Have you ever seen in your life such a tacky vase?
Yeah, you know, I think I have. I bought it for you.
You did not.
3 years ago, for your birthday.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, wait. This can't be it. This is a really pretty vase. This is the one that I always keep. I must have got it in there by accident.
Yeah.
Hey, did you ever see such an ugly pair of pot holders in your life?
Yes, I did.
Yeah?
At Bloomington's department store. I bought them for you.
You got these for me?
Yes, for a gift.
Oh, no, ladies. Don't worry about that, because look at this. I got this ugly porcelain doll.
Hey, I made that doll.
No, you didn't. Go on.
I made that doll in ceramic class. I gave it to you for Christmas.
No joke?
Well, speaking of ceramics, you're not going to believe these ghastly salt and pepper shakers.
Oh my gosh,
have you ever seen such?
Oh, that's ugly.
Don't tell me you made these in ceramic class for me.
For Friendship Day.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ladies, take a look at this one, because I know that this one was from my mother-in-law a couple of years ago for Christmas. Look at that.
That is kind of ugly.
But
yeah,
it's
ugly.
Ugly.
Well, that hurts. I mean, it's not the idea that the purse hurts. It's the idea that I gave it to you and you didn't have the guts to tell me that you didn't like it.
You gave me this purse?
Yes, I did.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
You know, I'm kind of afraid to ask, but what about these?
All right, you told me when I had them on that those were so nice. I went out and bought you a pair exactly like them.
I was just being polite.
else do you have in there? You got something else for me?
Let's take a look in these boxes.
I got you this at the beach.
How come it's so hard to find the right gift?
Maybe it's because we're so picky.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry,
I'm just sorry. Well,
you know what?
What?
You told me before that you know somebody gives good gifts all the time.
Oh, yeah. I do. Do you know?
I bet it's not one of us.
No, not really. It's God.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I knew you would find a way to pull that in and spiritualize this, huh?
Well, now listen to me. I mean, we are in church.
Oh.
So, you know, God always gives us things that we can use and things that we need, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When we give God's gifts to others, we still get to keep the gifts he gives to us.
That's right.
And now I can tell it's my turn to say something spiritual. I got nothing. Next time, why don't we just buy gift certificates?
Ooh, oh, that's a great idea.
I'm all for gift certificates.
All right.
Yeah. Well, ladies, let's get out of here. If anybody asks about this stuff, we don't know anything.
My lips are sealed.
Mine, too. I'll see you later.
All right. At this time, we'll dismiss our children to Children's Church. And as the children head out to Children's Church, let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. From the drama that we just saw, had all that junk and tacky gifts. I bet nobody here has ever given a tacky gift, right? Nobody here has ever given a gift that you looked back on and went, oh my goodness, what was I thinking? Nobody's ever done that, right? No, we do that, right? You know, accidentally. Or maybe we'll give something we think it's great and we don't know, but it was sold the following June in a garage sale. Or maybe not sold, maybe just thrown into the trash, right? Sometimes things in a moment seem like really good ideas. But then, after a little time passes, or we put fresh eyes on it, it doesn't seem like such a great idea, like the sweater this morning. All right. I thought duct taping a nice nativity picture would be beautiful. Because duct tape makes everything pretty, right? And sometimes we have these photos that we take. I know we've taken some family photos as a big group with my mom and dad. And I have four brothers and two sisters. And that it's a big family. And so family photos, especially when all of our kids are there and their kids and all these children, They can turn out not quite the way you wanted. One year, we took a family photo, and my brother Thomas, he was single at the time. It looked like he and my brother Josh's wife were together in the photo because of the way they were standing. It just was awkward. It was very awkward. And you know, we take these photos, and then we look back and we go, oh my goodness, what happened there? All of our best planning sometimes doesn't work. And then sometimes we put on these sweaters. And then we look in the mirror. You know what? Some of you, I bet when your sweater, you choir members or praise team members, when your sweater was bought originally, somebody thought that it was really cute, right? Somebody thought it was really nice. And then at some point, they become, well, how do you think the whole idea of ugly Christmas sweaters parties came about? People wearing what they thought were cute Christmas sweaters and everybody telling them, oh, no, that's ugly, right? Well, this is what happens to us in life. Life turns moments that we thought were good and turns them into awkward or ugly moments. And then sometimes we just wish we could have them back or erase them from memory. And as we go through the story of Christ and his birth this morning, we are going to see one of the most awkward family portraits that has ever been painted. So let's start here in Luke chapter 1. And every time I use the term awkward family photo or ugly sweater, I'm referring to the things in your life that aren't the way you intended them to be. And so every time I use those phrases, you can think of a time that maybe you thought a moment would have turned out differently or been better. Or maybe that wasn't what I was thinking at the time. So the hope in the messages today is that we see the Christmas story filled with all of its awkwardness and see that God creates beautiful things out of our messes. Luke 1, here's what's taking place. The priest Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth were unable to have children. And when he was in his early to mid-50s, we jump into the story here. And you say, how do you know it's his early to mid-50s? Okay, it says that he was very old. And early to mid-50s is not very old. I understand. But here's what you need to understand about what the scripture says. In the book of Numbers, chapter 8, verses 24 through 26, it tells us that a priest could only serve in the temple in active service until the age of 55. And at the age of 55, he was not allowed to do any more service work in the temple. So we know that Zacharias here has to be under the age of 56. Because at 55, you weren't allowed to continue to do the service work. Here's what we do know about their age. He's beyond the years where men have children, and his wife has been through menopause, and so she's not able to have children. It was Zacharias' turn in this passage to minister before the golden altar of incense in the holy place. This is possibly the first time and definitely the last time that he will serve in the holy place with the altar of incense. The priest had been divided into 24 different courses by King David. And in these courses, Zacharias was in the course of Abia. And Abia was number 8 in line at this time of year, okay? So you have 24 different, basically, families of Levites. Abia is one of the families. Zacharias is a descendant of Abia. And so it's over 1,000 different priests who are taking part in this ministry. They start at age 25. They end at age 55. This is probably the first and most definitely the last time that his number would have been called to serve in the altar of incense. Now think about, I just want you to understand a little bit what happened when he would do this. Each course would be called to minister in the temple on only 2 occasions during the year. So only 2 times a year, one of the 24 courses would be invited in to serve. When it was his turn, there would have been 2 other priests with him for the first part. The first part was they would reverently enter into the holy place in the temple. And they would take the sacrifice, the ashes from the sacrifice from the night before, and they would clean that out. And then they would take a golden censer that had a fire that had been lit by God, and they would take fire from that censer and put it on the altar. And then the other 2 priests were cleared out, and Zacharias would go in all by himself. And he would take incense from a bowl, and he would put the incense on the altar. And when that incense went onto the altar, it would immediately release a fragrant smell that was a beautiful smell. And the smoke would rise up out of the temple. And the people would stand outside and see the smoke come up. And they would rejoice. They would be able to smell it as well because the sacrifice was complete. Usually when that was done, the priest would then turn around and leave. But on this day, Zacharias' one and only chance to stand in the holy place and altar and offer on the altar of incense a sacrifice to God, an angel appears on the right-hand side. This is your right, correct? On the right-hand side of the altar. And the angel looks at him and the angel says, Zacharias, you are going to have a child. And Zacharias goes, no way. My wife is too old. I am too old. When he leaves, he's not able to talk. And he can't talk until after the baby is born. Now, the baby that they have, his name will be John the Baptist. And Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth, they are the parents of John the Baptist. Now, let's pick up the reading in verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. So when Elizabeth gets pregnant, now she's older, okay, mid-50s, probably 55. And she's been barren her entire life. And so when she gets pregnant, she's like, whoa. Not like, you know, young ladies who are proud and radiant. She's like, oh my goodness. She's a little bit embarrassed. She hides herself. And then here's what she says, verse 25. Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the 6th month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused or engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary to the angel, How shall this thing be, seeing I know not a man? She says, I'm a virgin. How can this possibly be? And the angel answered her in verse 35 and said to her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And behold, your cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this was the 6th month with her, who is called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. If you don't remember any other verses from this morning, remember this one. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. The key to dealing with awkward family photos, the key to dealing with ugly Christmas sweaters in your life, the key to dealing with trinkets and trash is knowing that with God, nothing is impossible. Verse 38, and Mary said, Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste, which means she went quickly into the city of Judah. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with Elizabeth. Oh, I'm sorry. Verse 40, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spoke out with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this thing happened to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul does magnify the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Go down to verse 56. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. Now Elizabeth's full time came that she should be delivered, and she brought forth a son. Elizabeth, when she married Zacharias, the young up-and-coming priest, who eventually, at the end of his life, would get a turn to serve in the holy place, I'm sure that she did not expect to be past childbearing years before she had a child. I'm sure that it was never in her plans that she would not raise children. And so the photo of her life was not what she had planned. Zacharias, every priest, wanted to bring up a little priestling so that that little priestling could be one who served God and went into the temple and was able to experience the joys of that service. And he did not have a child. And their photo of a family completely changes. And why does it change? Well, God wanted a forerunner, someone to go before Jesus, to start a ministry before Jesus' ministry began, and to prepare the way of the Lord. And that's what this son that Elizabeth and Zacharias will do. So here's the family portrait. 55 years old, holding a little baby, not a grandchild, but their own little baby. Different than what they had ever expected. Now there's another even, I guess, tacky part of this story. And the tacky part of the story is, Mary hears a message from an angel that says, "You are going to give birth to Emmanuel, God with us." And when you give birth to the Emmanuel, it will be an act of God. You'll still be a virgin. When she hears the news, she leaves town. She goes to her cousin Elizabeth's house for 3 months. When she comes back home, she meets with Joseph. And she's 3 months pregnant. Turn over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. So Joseph is engaged to Mary. He doesn't see her for 3 months. She says, "Hey, I'm going on a trip. I'm going to see my cousin Elizabeth. She's pregnant." First of all, Joseph would be like, "What? Your cousin Elizabeth? She's old." Yep, she's pregnant. So she goes and she spends time there with Elizabeth. She comes back 3 months later. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. She's been gone for 3 months, and now she's back, and she's found with child. So Joseph, verse 19, her husband, when you're engaged, you were considered There is that's the terminology they used, even though they hadn't come together yet. They haven't consummated their marriage. He had promised himself to her. She had promised herself to him. And so they were considered man and wife, but until the consummation, it was still just an engagement. Being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was going to break off the engagement. It's like, you came home from your cousin's 3 months pregnant. So I'll treat you well. I'm not going to stand you up in front of everybody and say, look what she did. I'm just going to quietly divorce you, and we're going to live our separate lives. Verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, you son of David, fear not to take unto you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. So Joseph finds out that Mary is with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay? I wonder how many people have tried to use that as their excuse, right? No, really, it was God. It's miraculous. She's the only one that could ever claim that and be truthful. And Joseph took it on faith. Now, we see in this story from both of them, and it's not just a story, this is actually history, this actually happened. We see from this, first of all, when Mary went to see Elizabeth, Mary herself said, I believe. Who did she believe in? Her Savior. Mary did not trust her own goodness to be her salvation, because Mary had no salvation in herself. She needed a Savior, and she believed. And now we see Joseph. He stepped out on faith and said, okay, I'll take her as my own. I'll raise the child as my own, knowing that he is God with us. And to prove he believed what the angel said, he named the baby Jesus, who is the Savior. An angel told Joseph that this is God's work. I mean, the angel said it's of the Holy Ghost. He said he will save his people from their sins. This is a fulfillment of prophecy. And here's the awesome thing about Joseph. He did what God, or what the Lord had told him. He did what the Lord had told him. Remember Luke 1:37? With God, nothing is impossible. So then the fifth thing is that Joseph took Mary as his wife and did not know her until after Jesus was born. I tell you, he had restraint. He was a good man. But now the story gets a little bit more interesting. Go back to Luke chapter 2. So Joseph finds out she's pregnant. He says, okay, I'm going to take responsibility for her. And just about the time when she's ready to give birth to Jesus, Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every man into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused, his engaged wife, being great with child. So here the story gets a little more awkward because Joseph has to go to his hometown. They haven't had the marriage ceremony yet. And he's got his fiance with him, and she is big and pregnant, ready to be delivered. You would expect when family comes into town that some cousin or aunt or uncle, because he had to have family there because this is his hometown, that somebody there has to have a place for Joseph and Mary to stay. But you know what? They all know that she is pregnant, ready to deliver, and none of them are willing to take them in. Nobody says, you know what, Joseph? You know what, Mary? I believe your story. Or, it's okay, we'll help you. So they have to go to the inn, the common area, a common house where they would rent out rooms. When they get there, there's no room. Imagine this. He goes home, not because he wants to, but because he has to. And there's just no, it's not just that there's no room in the inn. There is no room in the city of Bethlehem. Why? Because everybody knows the dude is engaged to a lady who's pregnant, and they haven't even performed the ceremony. What's wrong with these two? And so Joseph and Mary, verse 6. And it was so that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, in a feeding trough, because there was no room for them in the inn. Instead of the birth memories taking place in a sterile inn or in a friendly, happy home, the birth memories take place in a stable, in a barn, with the animals. Talk about an awkward family moment. See, we look at our lives sometimes and we think, man, I've got it hard. Things are tough. The story's not been written the way I want it. Everybody's looking cross-eyed at this. When Jesus was born, he was not born into your traditional happy family. He was born into one of the most awkward situations that any person has ever been born into. Because the story behind his birth was the absolute truth. He was the Son of God. Mary was not lying. And Joseph was a just and good man. But the outsider looking in, they think, oh my goodness, look at those two. What is wrong with that family? Rather than Joseph's relatives coming and bringing good tidings of great joy, some strange shepherds show up. I mean, they don't even have, you know, Aunt Mildred and Uncle Zachy come over and give them some gifts. They have these shepherds, you know, who have been out sleeping with the sheep. Stinky. No showers. Have you ever smelled a sheep? They don't smell like, you know, your fabric softener, okay? They smell much different than that. And these are the people who come and congratulate them. Where are the family members? They're not there. Why? Because this whole situation is awkward. And when nobility finally arrives to congratulate them, they're in a house, it's the wise men. They don't know those guys either. But when those guys show up, they give them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And you know what? Valuable resources to help them survive as they will have to flee to Egypt because Herod is trying to kill all the babies 2 years and younger so he can kill the Messiah. And God provides, because with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. He can take this awkward family moment, this situation that nobody would have ever planned. Mary, when she was learned from the angel, you're going to give birth to the Messiah. I'm sure she's not thinking it's going to be in a barn with my husband and nobody else around because nobody loves us. She probably didn't think that it would be with a bunch of animals where she'd have to lay her baby when she wanted to rest herself in a feeding trough. But you know what? With God, nothing is impossible. So, I want to speak to four different groups of people real quickly. First group of people I want to speak to, parents of grown children. How many parents of grown children do we have in here? Your kids are out of the house. All right, I'm speaking to you for a minute, all right? If the family doesn't look like what you had anticipated, there is hope. Because with God, nothing is impossible. You have grandchildren or you have great-grandchildren, they can all be influenced by your faith. And so I'm going to encourage you to never stop painting the family portrait. Keep working at it. Even though they might be out of the house, even though they might have their own families, keep at it. You still have the opportunity to create something that's beautiful, because with God, all things are possible. I want to speak to those who are single. Anybody single in here? How many singles? Yeah, all you kids, all right? I'll get to you more in a minute. But how about older singles? Yeah, we have some older singles in here. Yeah, yeah. Let me speak to you for a second. Maybe you're looking back on your life. And as you look back on your life, you think of family you've had, whether it was your own family and it's changed, or maybe you've never had your own family, but you were part of a family unit with your parents, and you look back and you're thinking, man, I'm the kid with my finger up the nose, right? Or the goofy smile. Or not looking at the camera, because in my life, you think I've been the person who has been marching to the beat of my own drum. And you say, my family photo, and you might be in the position right now, you never imagined that where you are right now, that you would be single, that you would be in the situation that you're in. And I want to encourage you with this. Your decisions that you make every day influence other families, other children, other people all the time. You are creating a portrait. You'll just never see the finished product until you get to heaven. And so, make decisions for good for God. Because with God, nothing is impossible. I'm going to speak to all the children, all right? All the children. We'll put our children at 17 and under, okay? Or if you're over 17 and you're living at mom and dad's house, I'm talking to you, okay? Children, make sure you aren't ruining the photo. It's so easy for you to say, you know what, I know better than mom and dad. Because you know what, honestly, sometimes mom and dad, because I know because I'm a dad, sometimes we don't have all the answers. Sometimes we don't even have right answers. But your job is not to create your own photo for your life. Your job is to help fit in the best that you can for what your mom and dad want. Because they're responsible for it. And you're responsible to follow. You're responsible to be what they ask you to be, even when you don't agree with it. And so I'm going to encourage you, children, don't create regrets. Let your parents handle the regrets. Make sure that you are cooperative. I'll never forget one of our first family photos that we were going to take. We went to JCPenney. I wore a blue denim shirt and some tan, jeans. And Rachel had a blue denim dress on. And Kayla, she was a tiny, tiny, tiny little baby. So we're sitting there, and they're trying to take the picture. And she is just screaming. She is just not happy, no matter what we try to do. She is not happy. And I'll never forget, the photographer caught her, she must have been passing gas or something in the moment, because she had a little, half-quirk smile, and so real quick took the picture. And you know what? When I look back, I do remember all the, because it was just, it was awful picture-taking experience. But when I look at that photo, she looks like she was having the time of her life. Children, cooperate. Don't create regret. And then I want to speak to parents that have children at home. And some of you, you're looking at the portraits of your family right now, and you're going, oh my goodness, I thought my kids were all going to be, geniuses, that, Harvard would be calling when they were three to enroll them into the university. I thought that they would be, that professional leagues would be knocking on the door saying, hey, why don't your kid come and play for us, And now you're looking at life and you're just seeing, because the portrait that is being painted, it's not a complete picture yet, but it's still not exactly what you were hoping for. And it's just, you're like, this is a lot harder than I ever dreamed. Any parent ever think that? Am I the only one? All right, oh good, a few of you think that. This is a lot harder than I ever dreamed. Well, here's what I want to encourage you to do. Learn from what you feel are setbacks in your parenting and move forward. Because here's something about your God. With your God, nothing is impossible. And so your failed portraits, you still have time. So keep painting. Keep sitting. Keep working at it. The key to getting past the struggles is remembering who we are living for, who the portrait is for, why we wear the tacky sweater. You know what all of life is for? It's for our God. And our God, as our drama told us this morning, sent us a wonderful gift, Jesus Christ. And with our God, nothing is impossible. Look with me in Luke chapter 2, verse 15. To close out the message here. It came to pass as the angels were gone away from the shepherds into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us go now even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. God did not create the perfect picture for his son to be born into. None of us would have picked this as the way to send the Savior. But when it all took place, here's what Mary did. She stood back because she didn't have a camera. She didn't have an iPhone. And she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart, because what she realizes in that moment, she is completely dependent on her God, who it was told to her that with God, nothing is impossible. And she's looking at the baby. She sees shepherds, so she has no idea who these guys are. And she thinks, wow, my God is going to take care of everything else as well. With my family, we have so many of us. I think we have, a lot. 28, okay, when we take a family, it's my immediate family, there's 28 of us that sit there and take a picture, okay? My brothers and sister and all the kids. And it is impossible for us to get a perfect family photo. So you know what we do? We cheat. We take a whole bunch of them. And then there's a computer program that will put in a different, we'll take a face from a good photo, and put, and so we can take faces from all, and then our family photos always look perfect. And how did you do that? Well, we needed a little outside help. Let me tell you something that your God wants to do for you. He wants to be that help. And so you've got ugly sweaters in your life. So you've got tacky gifts in your life. So you've got previous photos that didn't turn out the way you wanted. As we close out the service, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Come and offer those tacky sweaters to God and say, God, I believe that with you, nothing is impossible. And give it over to him and watch what he can do. Let's pray together. Lord, you're an awesome God. Your plan for bringing a Savior was extraordinary because it surpasses anything that we would ever dream up. No man could ever write this story, but you, God, you wanted to etch into history something that the world would remember because your Son is the Savior of the world. Your Son is the only hope for our sin. And so, Lord, I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And I thank you that today you tell all of us that with God, nothing is impossible. So, God, everything is possible with you. So, Lord, anyone right now that has the ugly sweaters in their life, the awkward family photos, I pray that we'd be able to have the freedom this morning, the courage this morning to just come to the altar and lay those things before you. Those things that are holding us back, the memories, the thoughts, the struggles, the tackiness that has kept us from just rejoicing in you. I pray, God, we would just drop those things at the altar this morning. And that we would claim Luke 1:37 is a great promise in our lives that with God, nothing is impossible. So, Lord, have your way as we close out this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you don't even really know what that means, I'm going to be standing here at the front. I'd love to talk to you about how you can know Jesus. And if you need to come up and do some business with God, get rid of that family photo, drop off that ugly sweater, and just give something over to God, trust Him. God can do an awesome work in your life this morning, so I invite you to do whatever He wants you to do. Let's stand together. We're just going to listen the first time through, and then we'll join in singing with the praise team when they get to that point.
Radiant beams from thy holy.
So help me out here. Luke 1:37 says, "But with God, nothing is impossible." Go home and understand that. And as you celebrate Christmas this year, remember that. We have a God that He could take the most awkward story ever and turn it into the most beautifully, beautiful, widely celebrated story in history. And all around the world, people are remembering Jesus the Savior is born. Heavenly Father, to you be the praise and the glory, because you sent your Son to be the Savior of the world. That you loved us while we were still sinners. That you sent Christ to die for us. And someday you will send him back to this earth to reclaim his people as his own, to set up his kingdom, and to rule and to reign and to be king. And you will be king forever and ever. So now to him who sits on the throne, and unto his Son, Jesus Christ, be glory and honor, praise and dominion, both now and forever, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.